Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, man, we got a lot to talk about here on this Monday morning. Busy week ahead. We'll have live shows from Great Falls on Wednesday, live from Whitefish on Thursday. Open phones, throughout the morning at different times here. Of course, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll have that full hour of open phones time. I got time to take your phone calls here in the 6 o'clock hour, a little bit in the 7 o'clock hour as well. Of course, we'll get back to business with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. It was great seeing Evelyn at the Montana Coal Rally in Roundup on Friday afternoon. What a great event. I think they went through 300 meals that the food truck had issued out. And I'll bet you there were even more folks than that maybe didn't even have time to go grab a meal that were there running around at that coal rally. So that was a great event. I've got a write-up on our Montana Talks website with, you know, some of the things that stood out to me. But yeah, a lot to talk about here on this Monday morning. Man, we've got a Montana Senate debate tonight between Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy and flip-flop, flat-top, fake moderate John Tester. So that debate is tonight. And then the vice presidential candidate debate tomorrow. The leader of Hezbollah taken out by Israel. I saw a report by Breitbart News that the Ayatollah in Iran went into hiding out of fear that maybe he would be the next target by Israel. So that was kind of a cool story over the weekend. And then, man, what about the incredible women at Boise State? That's right, I said Boise. Normally I'll say Boise because that's how we pronounce it here in Montana, but I'm going to pronounce it right. Boise State women. There was another college that allowed a man on the team to try to compete against these women, a man identifying as a woman. And so the Boise State women said, no, we're not playing this game. We're not putting up with this garbage. And especially in the wake of women who have faced severe injuries after being forced to compete against men identifying as women. So anyway, the Boise State women stood up to the radical transgender nonsense. So that's a cool story we can talk about. And then the border numbers. You guys probably heard these ICE numbers that were released, these immigration numbers that were released and talked about much over the weekend, showing all of the criminals that are in this country because of our open borders. Now, the Democrats are trying to push back on these numbers, saying, well, come on, that's not just in the last 3 to 4 years. That's over the course of several years. And wait till you hear these shocking numbers if you haven't heard these shocking numbers yet. I mean, but here's the big takeaway. Okay, so the Democrats are going to complain, are going to claim, well, all those rapists and murderers and other criminals that are in this country, that's over the course of several years, not just the last 3 to 4 years. Okay, but again, who has supported the open borders over the last several years? Kamala Harris, John Tester, the Democrat Party, the sanctuary cities of San Francisco and elsewhere. So again, they'll claim, oh, well, that wasn't just in the last. Yeah, that's because politicians like John Tester had been in office for several years.
Securing America.
The U.S. military taking action in the Middle East. CENTCOM announcing U.S. forces killed nearly 40 terrorists in Syria in two strikes, including senior leaders of ISIS and an Al-Qaeda affiliate. This is Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has, quote, increased the readiness of additional forces to deploy to the Middle East as necessary. National Security Communications Advisor John Kirby appeared Sunday on ABC's This Week.
As the president said yesterday, we got to make sure we've got the ability to defend our troops and our facilities if it comes to that.
Kirby also reiterating the fact that the U.S. is better positioned than it was earlier in the year.
We now have more force capability in the Middle East than we did in April when Iran launched hundreds of missiles and drones. So there is already a very robust military capability to defend ourselves and to help defend Israel.
The Pentagon says the U.S. is determined to prevent Iran from exploiting or expanding the situation in the Middle East. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies for today, high temperatures will range from around 56 in Bozeman to around 63 in Billings. For tonight, skies remain mostly clear. Low temperatures for the mid and upper 30s. And in the outlook for Tuesday, calls for more sunshine with highs ranging from the mid to upper 70s. Staying clear and quiet across the area on Tuesday night. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Big show coming up on Monday's Montana Talks. Amanda Castor, the director of the DNRC here in Montana. She'll kick off our statewide hour. Plus, we may get a phone call from Lieutenant Colonel Stu Scheller, that bold, courageous Marine who risked it all to stand up after that disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal. He'll be in Montana soon. Big show with Monday's Montana Talks, statewide 9 to 10 right here. Then we're in Great Falls and Whitefish later in the week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. Before I get to maybe all of those stories that I mentioned in the opening few minutes of the show, I say maybe because you know what happens. Man, one thing leads to another. We take a phone call, we get a message on the app, or a news story comes up in the Fox News update, and then before you know it, we're talking about something entirely different for the rest of the hour. But yeah, those are just a few stories that we'll likely get to here throughout the morning. But let me start with this story before I get to anything else. You know, here on Monday morning, well, like many mornings, I'm like, okay, let's clear off last week's show prep. Usually I'll keep a lot of news articles kind of laying around just in case we didn't get to them last week. We still want to get to them this week, or you know, something that we might have on hand. So, you know, you name it. But there was this story a while back. It's probably been a couple of weeks ago now. Big Sky Lawfare against State Attorney General. This is a piece by Ed Whalen at nationalreview.com. And it really is a must-read piece because it shows how the radical left, and when I say the radical left, I mean basically the standard bearers of the Montana Democrat Party, because they are all radical leftists at this point. They do not allow moderates to run for office as Democrats in the Montana Democrat Party. They are all far leftists. But anyway, they are using the same tactics that they're using against President Donald J. Trump to go after the best attorney general in the country, Attorney General Austin Knutson. Lucas Schubert, who is a young Republican running for the state legislature in the Flathead, he shared something via X probably a week or two ago now. He said this: our current attorney general
Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson is being persecuted by the corrupt judiciary to the point of them potentially disbarring him just because he doesn't align with their radical liberal jurisprudence. These leftist judges are the ones that need to be removed, not Knutson. And Schubert was responding to a post on X from the radical leftist trial lawyer, Democrat candidate for attorney general, who's probably going to lose by double digits in that race regardless. But anyway, but nonetheless, yes, there very clearly is, as Ed Whalen points out at nationalreview.com, Big Sky Lawfare against the attorney general here in Montana. Ed Whalen writes, in an outrageous proceeding in Montana, minions of the state Supreme Court are aggressively pursuing ill-founded professional misconduct charges against State Attorney General Austin Knutson for his vigorous representation of the governor and the state legislature in their 2021 clash with the Supreme Court over judicial reform legislation. In a separation of powers battle between the legislature and the judiciary, the state's Commission on Practice, whose members are appointed by the Supreme Court, is weaponizing its disciplinary authority over attorneys in the state bar. Under the commission's extravagant charges, Chuck Schumer, Sheldon Whitehouse, and other harsh critics of the U.S. Supreme Court ought to be facing severe disciplinary measures from their state bars. But anyway, later on in the piece, Whalen writes this, in the midst of this separation of powers clash, the Commission on Practice's Office of Disciplinary Counsel received an ethics complaint against Knutson from one of the justices' campaign donors. After 10 months of investigation, the special counsel appointed to investigate the complaint recommended that it be dismissed with a private letter of admonition. But the Commission on Practice rejected the recommendation and then filed even more BS in their complaint. That last part is my words, not Ed Whalen's. Anyway, he concludes this. It ought to be clear that ODC, an arm of the Montana Supreme Court, is trying to punish Knutson for his vigorous representation of the legislature against the Supreme Court. Somehow it's okay for the lawyers sitting on the Supreme Court to disobey the legislature's subpoena and to resort to various machinations to advance their interests, but it is professional malpractice for the attorney general to harshly criticize the justices for doing so. Yeah, bottom line, here's what's going on. We've got the best attorney general in the entire country here with Attorney General Austin Knutson, a former Montana Speaker of the House. He is doing his job. He is standing up for and representing the state of Montana. That is part of his job. So as a result, he is defending state laws passed by the state legislature and signed into law by the governor. He's also gone after the Biden regime, the Biden-Harris tester regime on open borders, on their anti-American energy agenda with over 51 lawsuits last time I counted, many of those successfully going after this regime in Washington. He's doing his job. And he's frankly doing it well, which is exactly why they're pursuing this stupid, phony complaint against him. By the way, it's not just him. There's other Republican AGs across the country that they're using the same boilerplate template complaint process to try to hamper and bog down other Republican attorneys general across the country. So just like they have been, you know, these people who screech and shriek and shill the word democracy, try to remove Donald Trump from the ballot, somehow try to force RFK to still stay on the ballot, even though he doesn't even want to be on the ballot anymore. They've been trying to get Attorney General Austin Knutson removed from the ballot as well. That's what this all comes down to. But it's also about trying to bog down these Republican AGs who are one of the only folks in this country that are effectively standing in their way with what they're trying to do to destroy this country right now.
Democracy 24.
I will not ban fracking. I have not banned fracking as Vice President of the United States. And in fact, I was the tie-breaking vote on the Inflation Reduction Act, which opened new leases for fracking.
That was Vice President Harris at the debate.
Some are skeptical of Harris's changed position on fracking since she strongly opposed it when she ran for president 4 years ago. But Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro telling Fox that he thinks her willingness to change is a strength.
When you're willing to listen, you're willing to incorporate people's views into your own positions, your own thinking, I think it shows that she has heard the good people of Pennsylvania.
The good people of Pennsylvania may or may not buy the switch, but the Trump campaign certainly isn't, telling Fox Business in a statement that says no one has done more damage to the oil and gas industry than Harris. At the Liberty Power Plant in southwestern Pennsylvania, I'm Jeff Block, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies for today, high temperatures will range from around 56 in Bozeman to around 63 in Billings. For tonight, skies remain mostly clear. Low temperatures for the mid and upper 30s. And then the outlook for Tuesday calls for more sunshine with highs ranging from the mid to upper 70s. Staying clear and quiet across the area on Tuesday night. That's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Do you guys remember this bold, courageous Marine, Lieutenant Colonel Stu Scheller? He wrote a book, Crisis of Command, How We Lost Trust and Confidence in America's Generals and Politicians. Well, Stu Scheller is going to be here in Montana this November. He's going to be headlining the Marine Corps Ball in Bozeman. Plus, he'll be speaking at Montana State University. I've got the full details. Go to MontanaTalks.com, including that viral video when he risked it all.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good Monday morning. It's time for the Daybreak Ag Report. You're listening to the Western Ag Network, and I'm Wayne Nordlund. Looking to a few headlines impacting farmers and ranchers this morning, we see that the Federal Reserve's recent interest rate cut by a half a percentage point offers some relief to farmers facing high input costs and low commodity prices, reducing borrowing costs. DTN reports that though the rate cut provides limited immediate savings, especially for those using operating notes, any reduction is welcomed by farmers managing debt. Experts suggest farmers and ranchers explore alternative financing options, though, like supplier credit with better rates to optimize cash flow. With a challenging 2023 and the uncertainty of 2024, farmers are carefully planning inputs and considering whether to prepay for next year's needs. Additionally, producers are going to have to navigate grain storage challenges with a large row crop and wheat crop this year. Well, speaking of crops and transportation of said crops, agriculture groups led by the National Grain and Feed Association are urging the Biden-Harris administration to address growing transportation bottlenecks affecting fall harvest and grain shipping. Challenges include potential port strikes, rail delays in Mexico, and low river levels hindering barge shipping. These issues threaten to disrupt the movement of grain during peak harvest, they say, potentially impacting prices and supply chains across the nation and the world. The groups are calling for government intervention to mediate labor disputes, provide support for trucking, and address rail capacity issues to avoid worsening conditions.
Stop the moisture-robbing weeds with a fall burn-down application of Vita herbicide and your preferred burn-down partner. With Vita, you're not restricted on the next crop. 0 to 1 day plant back on labeled crops, 30 days on unlabeled crops. Your choice of burn-down partner, adjuvant, and 2 fluid ounces of Vita, and you've got peace of mind come spring. You've kept as much soil moisture as possible. Quick control of broadleaves, including glyphosate and ALS-resistant weeds. Add power to your burn-down. Ask for Vita herbicide. Always read and follow label directions from Gallon USA.
The Montana Farm Bureau is a grassroots organization with 19,000 members strong that gives back to our rural communities. They offer scholarships for higher education, as well as scholarships for agricultural conferences and programs like Montana Farm Bureau's ACE and Real Montana. Their foundation has given thousands of dollars in mini grants for community projects, and they host the state's Young Farmer and Rancher Leadership Conference. So join today and be part of their mission for stronger rural communities.
Returning back here to the Western Ag Network, now that the Senate and House has approved another short-term funding bill ensuring the government's continued operation through December 20th, the CR allocated funding for select federal programs at fiscal year 2024 levels, including the Livestock Mandatory Reporting Program. The National Pork Producers Council says that is vitally important as the Livestock Mandatory Reporting supports continued funding for ag programs that benefit livestock producers, which since 2001 has offered transparent information on price trends for cattle, pigs, and sheep, as well as various purchase and sales methods. Livestock groups say it's essential to have these transparent programs to make sure pricing is beneficial for producers in the countryside. And looking to events, the 133rd South Dakota Stock Growers Association Convention will kick off on October 7th with an information session around USDA's APHIS rule mandating electronic identification tags. It will begin at 10 a.m. at the Ramcota Hotel in Rapid City, South Dakota. Brought to you by the South Dakota Stock Growers, U.S. Cattlemen's Association, and RCAF USA, among others. More details can be found at the South Dakota Stock Growers Association website. I'm Wayne Ortlund, Western Ag Network.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Tim and Savage sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. Yeah, I think I walked past their studio and I was filling up my cup of coffee at sometime in the 5 o'clock hour and they were talking about this. Anyway, he says, the breakfast flakes were saying that the University of Montana journalism staff and students will be fact-checking the debate tonight. He says it's pretty early for the, oh, for Pete's sake, moment of the week. You know, I should have started a diary like 6 years ago, or, you know, back in 2018 when we launched this show, because it's funny, every time I'll walk past their studios, I'll hear like one thing, and I need to just write down that one-liner. But, yeah, I think they were talking about that story. And he said, oh, come on now. How many of these journalism graduates are still sitting in their mom's basement, you know, drinking a grape pop and I forget what else at the age of 40 years old. But, oh, no, these are the people that are going to be fact-checking the debate tonight. I hope they do a good job. But, man, you know, I just know how too many of these so-called journalists operate, and they're a bunch of left-wing propagandists, so I'm not going to hold my breath for that. Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, there's a big debate tonight between Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy and Liberal Senator John Tester. Look at how the school newspaper at the University of Montana, the Kymen, refused to even do a story featuring the School of Journalism student who broke the big story about, you know, paid endorsement deals for student athletes that a group backing John Tester was trying to push. They refused to interview to talk to the student journalist. Not only did the school newspaper look at the newspaper in town, they finally mentioned the story, what, a couple of weeks later. Look at all the TV stations that refused to interview her. And she's the one who broke the big news story that they were offering paid political endorsement deals to student athletes at the University of Montana. Not only that, but the real big part of that story that they all virtually ignored was the fact that these female student athletes rejected the paid endorsement deals for John Tester because he voted to allow men into women's sports. And so that's why they said they rejected a paid political endorsement deal under the NCAA for Liberal Senator John Tester. And look, this is the community that we're supposed to trust to fact check that debate tonight. Give me a freaking break. Like I say, maybe they'll do a good job. I mean, I certainly, man, I tell you what, when I was in the radio television department, we had some great folks there, great professors and more. But anymore, just look at the state of so-called journalism.
Listening to Fox News.
All right, let's jump right into the phone lines here on this Monday morning, 406-294-0970. Nancy in Roundup, great to see you at the rally on Friday. What did you want to share this morning?
Well, good morning, Montana Talks family. It was great seeing you, too, and your hardworking team, and there was a lot of solidarity for the Signal Peak coal mine. I'm very proud of Round Up residents for supporting their fellow coal miners. And I just want to say that the mayor did a good job explaining and teaching us about our coal history, but she always leaves out the part about how Roundup got its name. And, of course, Roundup got its name because of the ranchers that used the Musselshell River in the late 1800s as a natural place to round up their cattle in the fall of every year. And at one time in the late 1800s, my God, there were cattle camps, cow camps all over the Musselshell Valley and chuck wagons and whatever. But we still have some big operators in Musselshell County, like the Daw Ranch. Their ancestors, the Steinleys, came into the area from Missouri in the late 1800s. We've got the Stanley Holiday Ranch north of town, just a true working ranch, and many others. Adolph family and... we're one of the earlier families that came into our areas, and the Goffneys. So there's a lot of ranching history here as well. But it was fun to see everyone. It was a lot of smiling people, and you can also see a lot of people were listening to all the speakers because they're really concerned and worried about the future of Signal Peak coal mine. So with God's blessings and hard work, we can keep that mine open.
Yeah, that's right. And also with elections going the right way this November as well, I really appreciated the head of the Montana Coal Council was one of the speakers there. Because, you know, everybody else, they were really working hard to keep it apolitical. And I understand why, right? But look, this is purely political. This is purely political. That mine would not even be in the position of potentially having to lay off workers later this year or potentially having to shut down next year if it weren't for these liberal federal judges that are on the bench, put on the bench by Democrats right now. So I'm glad that the head of the Montana Coal Council called out just how political this all is and that history. Nancy, thanks for sharing that about the ranches in the area. Make no mistake, the very same people that want to shut down the Signal Peak, the Bull Mountain coal mine, are the very same people that also want to shut down agriculture and want to kick our ranchers off the land. The very same folks and the very same Democrat political operatives that are attacking coal and putting these liberal judges on the bench are the very same people that are propping up and funding the American Prairie Reserve, which is trying to kick the ranchers off the land. They don't want any of you there. They don't want any of us here. They want to control it. And that's why these elections are so critical. Some of our listeners asked a question. They said, hey, where does all that coal go? You know, I see these coal trains pass by me in Bozeman or wherever you're at. Where does all that coal go? I've got the answer.
Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Bragg, a 20-year-old Missoula man facing felony charges after leading police on a high-speed chase last week, speeding up to 100 miles per hour down the busiest street in Montana. The chase started after police saw the suspect doing burnouts in his big Chevy Duramax and then taking off down Reserve and then on other streets, causing several near collisions, running stoplights and stop signs. Officers finally stopped him with a spike strip near Fort Missoula, taking him into custody at gunpoint. For over 20 years, this festival has been the go-to for rock fans across Montana, but now pressure over entertainment economics after the COVID interruption is ending the tradition, as Tammy Torin reports.
Rock in the Rivers has announced they're over for good. The three-day rock festival held at the bridge around Three Rivers has had a rough go of it the last few years. Starting with a bang in 1999 as Rock in the Rockies, the show morphed over the years to Rock in the Rivers, entertaining Montana for a couple of decades. The last few years have been hard on the festival, with the pandemic, then the high price of A-list rock acts. Rock in the Rivers confirmed to Town Square Media the event is over for good. Find out more details on our app. For the Montana State News Network, I'm Tammy Torrent.
One of Montana's top economic researchers says the pending layoffs at the Stillwater Mines are yet another case of a history of commodity economics in Montana. The company announced earlier this month it was curtailing some operations. Patrick Barkey, director of the Bureau of Business and Economic Research at UM, says the problem stemmed from the slump over palladium prices over the past year and a half, following the boom as demand from European markets shifted.
And that has really threatened the profitability and viability of probably the most important mining operation in the state. So there are a lot of reasons for that, why prices are going down. But the bottom line is that it's a commodity business, pure and simple. It is subject to those kinds of swings.
Barkey believes the biggest impacts will be the loss of tax revenues. This is the Montana State News Network.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Papa, why can't we telegraph while riding a horse?
Son, there ain't no one to blame but Jeffro. He was riding old Betsy the Stallion, tip-tapping away at his telegraph, when blam, ran right into the side of the saloon.
Well, if Jeffro can't do it, neither should you. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. I almost forgot we have a great guest joining us right now live here in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. I kicked off the hour talking about just a whole host of different topics that we can cover here this morning. One of the big news stories, of course, is our friends in Israel taking out the leader of Hezbollah. And then I saw a Breitbart news report that apparently the Ayatollah in Iran may have gone into hiding, fearing that he was next. But anyway, joining us now with the latest, Fox News international correspondent for Fox News Radio, Jonathan Savage. Jonathan, thanks for being with us. And yeah, what's the latest you're hearing?
Yes, it has been an extraordinary few weeks in Lebanon, especially for Hezbollah, the militant group backed by Iran, funded by Iran, founded in many ways by Iran to oppose Israel, which in the last few weeks has been bombarded by Israel. First, their communications devices exploded in their hands, an operation, it seems, by Israeli intelligence. And then, after days of airstrikes, that airstrike struck the Hezbollah HQ in the southern suburbs of Beirut, taking out seven senior figures, including the leader of Hezbollah, Hassan Nasrallah, a decapitation strategy on the organization by Israel. Since then, there have been more airstrikes by the Israelis against Hezbollah positions, and it appears that Israel is readying itself, readying its forces for a cross-border ground incursion.
Yeah, and obviously this was welcome news back here in the United States, because for, you know, some 40 years plus, you know, these terrorists like the, you know, the now deceased leader of Hezbollah have been also targeting American troops and killed Marines in Beirut, and then of course targeted our troops in the Middle East for, you know, the entirety of the so-called war on terror. So welcome news back here in the United States. And what's the thought in terms of, I heard Tom Cotton, the Arkansas senator, Tom Cotton, I think he made a point that actually when Israel takes out this terrorist leadership, that's actually more likely to lower tensions and lessen the likelihood of a larger war in the Middle East. But there's some debate on that front.
I was just listening, just before I spoke to you, to Israeli government spokesman David Mentzer, and he says that Israel will not stop until its war goals are achieved. Now, one of its goals, its main goal right now regarding Hezbollah and Lebanon, is getting 60,000 Israeli citizens back in their homes. They were evacuated from the border region because just about every day since October 7th last year, Hezbollah has been firing rockets into northern Israel. So Israel clearly has no intention of winding down its military campaign just yet. That is despite appeals for a ceasefire, including one proposed by the United States itself. Israel feels that Hezbollah is on the back foot. So I think, and I think that analysts all over the region think, that Israel is likely to press on with this until it achieves its goals.
United States military and obviously our allies in Europe and elsewhere are on high alert in the Middle East. Almost continued to be on high alert, but I saw, speaking of Breitbart News, they had a headline over the weekend, U.S. Navy repels Red Sea attack, shoots down barrage of Houthi missiles and drones. So certainly they are postured, in the event that something broader might break out.
Yeah, the U.S. military has had a significant presence, an escalated presence in the region ever since October 7th last year, in Israel's war against Hamas in Gaza. And one of the reasons for that has been the operations of this Houthi group in Yemen, another one of these groups which is backed by Iran and operates essentially to uphold Iranian interests and to menace and counter and fight Israel in the region. They have been firing drones and missiles at ships in the Red Sea since October last year. So the U.S. is there trying to not just defend Israel, but also defend ships shipping in the Red Sea.
That pager attack was just remarkable, the way that they were able to target with such minimal collateral damage all of these terrorist operatives within the Hezbollah network was just absolutely brilliant. Now the Hezbollah leader himself taken out, and I wasn't able to follow up to see if it was verified at all, but had you heard or seen anything more about just about the Ayatollah potentially going into hiding? Or but I mean, every single one of these guys have to be just watching their backs at every turn now because of the remarkable ability by the Israelis to penetrate their leadership.
Yeah, Iran is deeply involved in this, as we were saying, and it does appear as though they've taken emergency precautions, having seen the leader of Hamas apparently assassinated on their soil, and having seen the leader of Hezbollah taken out by Israel last week. Iran has hidden its leader, the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, away, according to all reports from the region, because they're concerned that he too could be a target. Iran says that it will respond to what it calls criminal acts by Israel. However, we've yet to see Iran's retaliation that they threatened after the assassination of the leader of Hamas in Tehran earlier this year. But the region is watching to see what Iran chooses to do and whether it will calibrate its response to be short of triggering an all-out war in the region, or whether its response will be fierce enough to trigger that war.
All right, Jonathan Savage, appreciate your reporting as always. Thanks for your time joining us live this morning here on Montana Talks.
Thank you.
All right, appreciate it. Former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, he was on Fox News over the weekend. And as Jonathan Savage was just reporting there, you know, what's really remarkable to a lot of us back here in America is the fact that the Biden administration just continues to send weak, mixed signals. And they continue still to undermine Israel time and time again. Remember, Israel didn't start this war. They had the worst attack since the Holocaust on Jewish civilians, this terrorist incursion on their soil. They didn't start this war, but by golly, they're determined, and we should support them in finishing this war and finishing the job in Israel. That's essentially what Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, I think, had to say over the weekend. Former Secretary of State. He was under Trump.
Joining us now, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Secretary, good to have you with us. What do you make of what the senator had to say about the fact that the Biden-Harris administration has been full-throated and unequivocal in supporting Israel?
Well, good morning, Shannon. Look, Senator Coons is a nice man, but he's just living in a fantasy world. The most important people who make the determination about whether America is providing enough support, frankly, are the Iranians, Hamas, and Hezbollah. And they have felt free to fire missiles into Israel, kill 1,200 Israelis, continuing to hold Americans hostage. We don't even talk about that anymore. There are still hostages held by the Iranian regime in Gaza today. Instead of talking about a ceasefire, which is what Secretary Austin spoke about, what Secretary Blinken speaks about, we should be saying plain and clear, finish the job. Nasrallah would be alive today if the Biden administration ceasefire had gone into effect. The entire Hezbollah leadership would be alive today if the Israelis had agreed to the ceasefire that Hamas had demanded and that the Iranians had demanded and the United States had supported. Make no mistake about it. We know history. We know the history from 1967. We know the history from 1973. There is only one thing that will protect Israel and make the Middle East more prosperous and peaceful, and that is the demonstration of power and imposing costs on Israel's adversaries.
All right. Yeah, well said there by Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Let's go into the phone lines, and then if I don't get to it before the next break, I'll get to it right after that. I'll tell you the answer on where all those coal trains are headed that I got from the rally in Roundup on Friday. Steve in Ballantyne next up on the phone lines. What's going on, Steve?
Morning, Aaron.
Morning.
Okay. You know, being a little sarcastic, I guess, but you think Biden and Harris sent over a bunch of Secret Service agents now to protect that piece of crap in Iran like they did over here on the American soil?
Oh, man. You know, yeah.
Isn't that just disgusting?
Maybe we should send the Secret Service to go protect those guys over there.
Oh, yeah,
there.
They can't protect them. That's right. Yeah, there you go.
I mean, I know there's some incredible Secret Service agents that are protecting President Trump. But look at that Secret Service bureaucracy. Look at the way the Biden administration has left President Trump at risk time and time again. But yeah, you're right. But they protected all the folks that were in New York City for the UN. Why did they even allow the Iranians to step foot on American soil after their interference in the elections, after hacking the Trump campaign, after basically trying to assassinate President Trump? Why even allow them on our soil? But look at everything. That's why I'm so thankful for our friends in Israel taking out this Hezbollah leader and others. Look at what these people, these terrorists, have gotten away with, slaughtering American troops for decades now with practically zero consequences. Finally, thanks to our friends in Israel, they're finally paying for their terrorist actions.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
How do you have a mindset that allows 11.5 million that we know about, unvetted, illegal immigrants from 180 countries, including Iran, Syria, Egypt, Afghanistan, Venezuela, tens and tens of thousands from China and Russia into our country? People that are part of gangs, we let them in. Convicted felons, no vetting. Is it any surprise so many Americans have been murdered, have been raped, have been victims of violent crime, that these gangs have taken over small towns and cities, and they're being offered free housing, food, health care, and citizenship at the end of the rainbow, but they're hoping that they'll vote Democrat in the end?
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
You know, out of all the things we can do to maintain and protect our homes, you know what? Getting up on a ladder, cleaning out the gutters, that's the last thing anyone wants to do. I know, I've done it. And right now you can save up to 30% off your entire purchase when you go to leaffilter.com/Hannity. An investment in Leaf Filter is an investment engineered to protect your entire home. Now, the beauty of Leaf Filter is they take care of everything start to finish. Every installation comes with a free inspection, free estimate, and a lifetime guarantee. Now, a Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will clean out, realign, seal your gutters before installing Leaf Filter. Protect your home and never clean out gutters ever again with Leaf Filter. They're America's number one gutter protection system. And schedule your free inspection. Get up to 30% off your entire purchase when you go to leaffilter.com/Hannity. That's a free inspection up to 30% off, leaffilter.com/Hannity. and do it today.
See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount, one discount per household.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The all-seeing, far-sighted, perfectly informed regulator. Did they ever exist? Perhaps there do exist such people who could somehow guide us to making the right decisions on everything, from public health to making investments in safety. Perhaps you're such a person. But what we actually have in regulation are regulatory agencies, for better or worse. In reality, those agencies have limited information. They're run by people who seek political power and higher budgets, and they're frequently captured by the industries and individuals they're supposed to be regulating. Their track record is one of failure with a dusting of success here and there. How did these financial regulators do during the financial collapse of 08 and 09? Or how about the public health debacle of the pandemic? Even when regulation begins with success, as the Clean Air Act in 1970 clearly did, it evolves and morphs into a job-killing, litigation-plagued, growth-choking bureaucracy within a few decades. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Shop Macy's VIP sale, going on now. Use your coupon or Macy's card and take an extra 30% off the latest fall trends from designers that rarely go on sale. And save 15% off skincare, makeup, fragrances, and more. Plus, shop fall specials for even more great deals on top brands at Macy's. Savings off regular and already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Information for them, click on the link on the KBUL website or app.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We had a listener ask a really good question the other day. I think it was after Ken in Great Falls had called in. Ken in Great Falls called in, and he said, coal is dead. Coal is dead. And again, if coal was dead, if coal is dead, then why do the Democrats keep trying to kill it, right? If coal is dead, then why do the Democrats keep trying to kill it? But one of our listeners raised a really good question. I think they messaged us on the Montana Talks app after that phone call came in. If coal is dead, then why did I just see a train load full of coal just roll past my house? And then I think another listener asked, hey, where does all that coal go? Where is all that coal headed? Well, we got the answer because, as you heard earlier, I was at that great rally for Montana coal in Roundup put on by Mayor Sandra Jones on Friday night. Several speakers were there, including former State Representative Alan Olson, who was instrumental in getting the mine south of Roundup up and running. One of these speakers was with Global Coal Sales Group. They market Signal Peak Energy coal from the Bull Mountains mine near Roundup. He told the crowd about the 500 trains of coal that head west to Vancouver, British Columbia. The coal is shipped to places like Japan, South Korea, Chile, and the United States, with about 5 million of the 7 million tons of coal heading to Japan. So that's where the bulk of it is. Gary Perry, state representative out of Colstrip, he had a great speech Friday night as well. And he particularly, he came on after that speaker from the Global Coal Sales Group. And he was particularly thankful for the fact that none of that coal is being shipped to China. It's going to much friendlier countries right now. So I appreciated Representative Perry highlighting that. But, anyway, we've got a full write-up on our Montana Talks website from that rally on Friday. Signal Peak CEO Parker Phipps also spoke at the rally and told the crowd about the 300 jobs at the mine in both full-time and contract employees. He says the mine would have shut down a year ago, but Montana Governor Greg Gianforte pressed for amendments to keep the mine up and running with access to coal. And it's important to point that out because, yeah, you think about it. If we didn't have a Republican governor, it's likely that that mine would have already shut down a year ago. And the only reason the mine is now being threatened with potential layoffs and with potential shutdown is because these liberal federal judges put on the bench by Senate Democrats have been standing in the way of the mine getting access to new coal on federal land. That's why Senator Steve Daines is now pushing this bill that would allow for a land swap so they would have access to coal on private land. So they can hopefully just get the feds out of the way altogether and get these federal judges out of the way altogether. But look at all the work that needs to be done just to save these coal mining jobs and the various businesses that ends up supporting. And so, yeah, it is political. And that's another reason why this Senate race is so important. Liberal Senator John Tester will stand against coal and stand against coal mining jobs. Now, he'll do the old flip-flop, flat-top thing. Oh, yeah, he'll show up and he won't show up. He'll have some staffers show up and read a letter. Oh, I support this bill. I support this land swap. I support your coal jobs. And then he'll do the old two-faced Tester thing. He'll tell you, he'll have his staffer read a letter in front of you. And then back in Washington, he'll start undermining you. He'll put these liberal judges on the bench that will shut your jobs down, shut your union jobs down, I should add. That's why he's called Two-Faced Tester. He plays this two-faced game all the time. By the way, I heard from somebody else who was at that rally that they were at the Union Hall in Columbus with the Stillwater mine workers, and a Tester staffer showed up and got booed. And they told him, there's the door, buddy. That's what they said to a Tester staffers at the Union Hall.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Minnesota Governor Tim Walz used to love talking to reporters. But since he became Kamala Harris's running mate, well, let's just say you haven't missed any interviews with Walz, any solo interviews, because he hasn't done any. The Atlantic writes it's a bit of a mystery why Walz has largely stopped doing national media. Campaign seems to have trapped him in the same hyper-protective bubble wrap it has placed around Harris and that was placed around Joe Biden before her. This strikes me as a massive waste of Walz's talent. It also suggests they don't trust the potential vice president not to step in it, not to do something that would come back to bite the campaign. And that's really a lack of confidence. Meanwhile, HBO's Bill Maher, reflecting on the interview that Vice President Harris did with Stephanie Ruhle of MSNBC, said, I wasn't expecting hard questions, but I didn't think they'd be rubbing her feet. Ouch. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Save big money in your door project right now at Menards. Update your home with beautiful Mastercraft doors. Mastercraft has been building high-quality doors for over 50 years. Design your door your way with our free step-by-step design program. Or choose from our great in-stock selection. Save big on your new door at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big.